welcome, welcome to this week's edition of Pow Talk Real Talk. We are your hosts, Henny and MLA.
Hi, Henny.
Hi, MLA. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good, good. Nothing. Honestly, I can say that's funny. My mind has sort of been preoccupied a lot with a lot of what's going on social media. We did take a long hiatus. Part of it was just us
mentally taking a break.
Yeah, dealing a lot with stuff that was going on here in our city and then kind of
checking out from social media.
Yeah, a little bit. There has been a lot going on within our community, especially in social media. What we have seen in the past few weeks are a lot of survivors who have come out to talk about their sexual assault that they have been through, sexual harassment, sexual assault, rape. And it pertains a lot to our community here, especially our state that we live in, because a lot of the survivors are from here. And it just kind of has us thinking a lot the things that we need to address and we need to talk about. And, you know, first and foremost, what I want to say, and I'm sure Emily agrees with me, first is 100% we stand with the survivors. You know, what you guys did, you know, posting your stories, sharing your thought, sharing everything that has, you know, gone and happened to you. It's an incredibly brave thing to do. And it's truly what makes you resilient. And to be able to do that, you know, with your accounts, even if you did it in an anonymous account, to be able to share your story about what had happened to you, I can only imagine, you know, how you felt at that moment. And I just want you to know, Emily and I, from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say you are incredibly brave, incredibly resilient, and like a badass person just for doing that. And for those who haven't shared their stories, who have a story, we believe you. We support you. We're sending our love and strength to you. And you don't have to share if you don't want to. Just know that, you know, we stand with you.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with Henny. I was really heavy hearted reading majority of you guys' stories. But at the same time, I'm a big believer in making sure that people are able to live safe lives. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And I felt really, really sad that the fact that so many of you guys have had your voices taken from you at a young age because of these experiences, and nobody was able to, you couldn't go to nobody to talk about it, you know? And I never, ever want you to think that me and Henny would, I don't doubt people, and especially why would somebody come up and lie about these things? Mm. And what I think one thing I really didn't appreciate was the fake accounts that were coming out and people just accused people because they wanted to. You guys are taking the spotlight away from so many people who did not have their voices heard for such a long time. And for you to think it's an appropriate time to make fake accounts or deny somebody else of their, like, imagine for the first time you have the ability to talk about something that you have withheld within yourself. I don't know how long you carry that with you. And for you to come out and talk about that, and all of a sudden for these people who are taking the spotlight away from them, I want y'all to burn in hell. Straight up burn in hell. You don't know, and I personally don't know, the experiences that these survivors are telling us. I don't know it, and I want to hear it, because I think that one thing people think that I feel like is sexual assault is like a gender thing. Like, it affects, because more women talk about it, they think it's a woman, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sexual assault, I feel terrible that so many men are not a part of it, because this is a human problem. It is not a gender problem. And so many men feel heavily, I think, extremely heavily, even in the ones that are in leadership positions, even the ones that are holding in court positions, you guys feel so heavily thinking that, oh, you know what? What happens to women every day is something that can happen to me in jail. That's how they see sexual assault. And the fact that survivors come and they tell their stories and they are denied, because men see this as, oh, it's not my problem, it happens to women, when there are so many boys that stuff happens to them too, but they don't have the courage to speak about it. They don't have the platform to speak about it, because people still look down on young boys or men, older men, that want to talk about these experiences. This is not a woman problem. It's not a man problem. It's a human problem. And I feel like we have continuously failed people for so many freaking years because we're not taking this serious. The more predators we literally get out the way, the more it is safe for everybody else. Especially, I don't like knowing that a child or somebody in college or some whatever it is, I just don't like that somebody can sit there and feel like they're alone in this problem. And majority of you guys, I understand why you don't speak about it, because it's not like when you do speak about it and you go to court and you talk to these judges, it's like, where's the evidence? Like, where's the proof? And then when they get prosecuted, they don't even serve time. Mm. And it's like we continuously are failing over and over and over and over. And for generations and for years, I feel like my community is failing a lot of the people.
here's the thing with our community. The Somali community does not talk about a lot of certain things. They don't address, they don't talk about mental health. They brush that under the thing. And they especially don't talk about sexual assault. They also brush that under the rug. They think it's shame, you know, and we need to end that. You know, this isn't the time to just be like, oh, you're bringing shame upon your family. Let me make it clear. Fuck your reputation at the end of the day, because what the fuck is a reputation going to do to your child? And if they're coming forward about their sexual assault story and they're sharing that with you, you need to believe them. You need to figure out how to take action with that. And we need to be able to persecute and get these predators that have attacked these people, regardless of who they are, what they are, if they're in the family or not. Like, regardless of that, we need to be able to listen to our children when they're coming forward with their stories and not be all about, this will bring shame, this will bring the gossip of the town. Like, nobody gives a fuck. Fuck that shit.
I agree.
I 100% cannot stand that shit. Like, fuck the reputation. Fuck it.
How are you gonna, like, kids don't lie. And I don't understand when a child comes and tells their parents, like, somebody is bad. Listen, if a child is telling you an adult is bad or they don't like that person, you better fucking listen to your kid. Like, how are you going to think that a six-year-old child or whatever age that kid is lying? Like, kids don't have much to lie about. And what the hell, why would they lie about something as big as that is? I feel like the sooner we out these bad people, it clears the path, you know? Because it's like, if you keep, it's like, I always, in the back of my head, I always think about it. When somebody gets exposed for being a predator, the back of my head, the first thing that I assume is, how many more people have they hurt? And how many years has that going on, you know? Because it's like, how many voices got shut down so heavily when they first came out and they told? I feel like the sooner you out these predators, the sooner we know who the hell to stay away from. Mm. Even if court can't bring us justice, public shame can do its thing for these people. I don't like the fact that these predators get to live their life. They get to continue on doing bad to other people. They get to, while they get to go on with their lives, so many of these survivors have to deal with the trauma and they have to deal with the aftermath of what has happened to them. I'm not taking that trauma for those survivors versus somebody else's comfort. You've already hurt people and somebody is experiencing all these. Like, I just, like, I'm getting so emotional about it because it just makes me so mad. I'm sorry. But I think about, like, how much pain all these survivors are in. And then all of a sudden, like, we're letting these predators, like, get away continuously in our court system, in our regular day lives. Oh, you know what? He's my friend. He's my homie. Well, if he didn't do that to me, you know what? It doesn't matter. How am I going to believe you? It's like, I don't want the comfort of those people living in this world with us. I'm like, I want you to suffer in this world and I want you to suffer in the hereafter. I don't give a fuck about you and I don't give a fuck about who you repping at the end of the day. If your friend is a predator, you better stay the hell away from them. And the more we stand as a community together and the more that as men and women, we fight these bad people away from us, I feel like it's safer for all of us to be protected. Because if it's not you, it's going to be your kid.
Exactly.
Like that girl's tweet said that the friends that you guys are protecting becomes the uncles that molest your children. That is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. What is a reputation? That at the end of the day, if that friend is a predator, your reputation, you better stand for what is right. And that is protecting one another.
Yeah. And you know, one thing that I kind of don't like is, you know, everyone always uses what if this is your sister? What if this is your mom? You know, what if this was your family member? And I'm just like, why do you need that to have basic human empath? Those are the, you know, the people who say that if this was your mom, you don't want somebody to treat her like that. So I don't know why you would rape somebody like that. You know, like, you wouldn't do that to your mom, so why would you do that to somebody else? Like, kind of those kind of things. Yeah. And I'm just like, why would you even in the first place? Like, why? Like, I don't understand that you would need that excuse. You don't have basic empathy to understand consent. That you don't understand what you can and can't do as a man. Or as a woman, like, when people are telling you not to do it, you don't do it. You don't need to have this mentality where it's like, oh, if this is my sister, then I wouldn't want to do this to her. No, fuck that shit. Like, hold your friends accountable. Hold yourself accountable. And if there's no consent, don't do it at all. At all. It's not that hard.
To listen to a no.
Yeah.
It really ain't.
Another thing that I don't like that I constantly hear, especially with some of these survivors who have told their stories, you know, some of them said that they were like drinking or whatever. And I'm just like, I don't give a fuck if they were on crack. It does not give you the right to put your pants in another woman. Like, you don't get to do that without her consent, regardless of what she was on,
what she was wearing.
I don't care if this girl's either wearing a niqab or she's at San Diego on a nudist beach, bucking out her vagina, getting a tan. it does not give you the right to decide I'm going to enter my dick into it because I feel like I want to and I can take possession of what I want. You can't do that shit. It's not allowed. And if you don't think you're going to suffer the consequences here in this life, then be prepared to suffer the consequences in the afterlife, because what you do here will always come to bite you in the afterlife. Just know that. And I just want to put it out there like that shit does not fly with me. It does not fly with me. Don't ever bring the excuse of, well, she was wearing something promiscuous. Well, fuck you and what you were wearing too, man. Like, you don't get to do that regardless.
Absolutely. And the way that when women come forward and they talk about what happened to them and the way that men or other women disregard it, it's kind of like when you're black and you're talking about your experiences with a white person. And then a white person goes, well, you know what? Like, that's your experience with cops. Well, cops are always so good to me. Mm. It's like, okay, but I'm talking about my experience with cops. I'm not talking about your experience with cops. Like, yeah. You see how they dismiss that? Yeah. It's kind of like that with women when they come forward and then there's these stupid ass bitches, excuse my language, but these rape apologists are just like, well, you know, there's no evidence. And if it happened to you, then like, where's the evidence? I want to know. You know what the evidence is? Fuck you. That's my evidence for you.
Her story.
what more do you want? Like, what would somebody gain from lying about that? What would somebody gain from talking about something that was traumatic to them? Like, what would they gain from it? What they want is, I'm so proud. I am really, 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 I'm gonna get emotional again, but I'm really proud of all of you young girls and all of you women and all of you boys and young men that are coming out and telling your stories. I think it is so, so, so important because you help me understand your stories and you help me understand what you've been through. And I always want to continue to help you out. I always want to support you. And I feel like if nobody believes you, just know that we, Pal Talk World, like me and Henny, believe your stories. And we wouldn't be doing this episode if we didn't care about it. I care so much about this problem because it is a problem. And people keep treating sexual assault like it's a different crime. If somebody walked into a bank, right, and they robbed it, that's a bank robber right there. And those are the survivors of that robbery, right? Why do they treat sexual assault like it's a completely different crime? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh my God, that predator. What was she wearing? Like, what got her to think like it's okay? Did she say, I mean, was it construed? Like, how did she say yes? Or was she... It's like, what
the
hell?
Victim blaming. It's wrong. Like, you wouldn't want the same shit to you. So why would you victim blame somebody who's sharing their story? Imagine if you know, you're having a cop alteration, like Emile said, and they just don't believe what you're doing. Like, they're like, where's your proof? Where's your proof?
Well, how
did he choke you? Where's your proof?
Exactly. Like, how do I know you didn't antagonize the cop? Like, what were you wearing?
How did I know that you didn't pull a gun out in the front? Like, maybe you had the gun out. Maybe the whole time you were the one who was antagonizing and had the gun out and you kind of deserved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about it like that.
It is kind of like that.
And it is like that.
It 100% is.
And here's the thing, you know, with sexual assault, like, I feel like as a woman, as beautiful and divine and, you know, amazing we are, at times it is so exhausting being a woman.
Absolutely.
It is just, it's so physically draining having to watch your back as a woman, consistently knowing that wherever you go, you know, something could happen potentially. It would be nice for once to have the privilege of walking at 2 a.m. to be able to clear your head. And when you walk outside at 1 a.m, 2 a.m, I would love that experience. But I know as a woman, chances of me having that and not having an altercation where someone could come and take advantage of me is high. Mm-hmm. So as a woman to be able to, it's exhausting. And, like, I want to share a story. Well, Emily and I once were hanging out, and I had this car, right? And it's Big Baby Zazie Beats. You know, she my baby, you know. She was this 2006 white Hyundai Elantra. What a bad bitch. I loved her. I never felt more safe in my car at the time. Like, I paid for it myself. It was my baby, my ride or die. And I never felt more safe, even though the car was detrimentally awful. Like, the side mirrors would fall out. Occasionally I'd have problems with the mirrors not closing, you know, like, so either we'd be really hot or really cold. You had to pick a struggle. And I'm sorry, Zazie Beats gets to make the choice. I didn't, right? So it's my car. But recently what I was having, the trouble at the time that I was having was that the lock stopped working. So the car door wouldn't lock.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember this.
The car door wouldn't lock, right? And, so you'd have to individually manually lock each of the doors in order to get out. And then if you get into your car, all the car doors unlock automatically. Just it's this weird thing, right? So Malay and I were out. We're having a good time. We come back to the car. We're chilling. And we're just talking to ourselves, you know, just like you know, hanging out in the car and always talking to yourself, it's kind of a Melanie and me favorite pastime. You know, like we have the best chats in the car, right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of vibing and enjoying ourselves. And all of a sudden, oh, this man comes and opens the door. And I don't even know what he was talking about. Clearly, he was inebriated. And he was opening the door, and it scared the living shit out of me because I was like, oh my God, I'm late. Like, something is like, how could somebody just
come the and way I screamed
the violation that I had felt at that moment. Like, I was completely mortified. And I know Amelie and I were just mortified. We drove the fuck out of there immediately.
He just opened that door so freaking fast. Oh, my God. I will never forget that. I was like, oh, my God. We're going to get kidnapped.
Yeah. I kept thinking.
It was so unexpected.
Yep, we're going to die today. That's all I kept thinking. I'm like, this is fucked up. We're going to, like, something bad's going to happen. I can't believe somebody would violate us like that. After that situation, I no longer felt trustworthy in my own car. I couldn't even stand being in Dazzy Beats because I loved her so much, but it felt like a violation for me. Like, I was like, man, you took something from me, the car that I felt the safest with, even though it was a completely unsafe car. You took that from me, and he made me super, super paranoid. So from then on until I got a new car, I had to be very wary of, you know, like, I have to lock the doors immediately. I have to lock the doors immediately. I have to check if somebody's right next to me. I have to walk around, you know? And I would say I had this like ritual at that point would be like, as soon as I leave something, I say my prayer as I'm walking to the door, look back, look forward, look back, look forward, look to the side, look forward, making sure there's nobody near my vicinity before I run into the car and lock each of the immediate doors and drive away as fast as I can. Mm. And I felt like my safety was taken at that point. Like, I felt like at the time, like something that I had felt so comfortable with, a car that I had enjoyed that I really felt like was an essential piece of me was taken at that point. And, you know, even if this guy was inebriated or not, he took my safety away from me. And to have that taken from me was like heartbreaking for me. It was exhausting because then I didn't feel safe in my own car. Then I had to get a new car. And now I take the same precautions in that car, knowing that. It's just like
you take as a woman, you take so many precautions.
So much.
I don't think I can leave a parking garage without like double checking my back every single time. And I open the car and then I look back and then I get in my car. And then I actually always look inside of my car before I go inside my car.
Yeah. And you're reading stories now of people hiding underneath your car and stuff. And I'm just like, dude, it is exhausting being a woman, like completely having to watch your back just so you can get home safe.
Yeah.
Like the end goal at this point for us is not to have a good time. We just want to get home safe. And it's scary that people can violate that for you and to do that for you.
If we as a society, honestly, I think it's ridiculous the amount of times that we take precautions about danger instead of actually dealing with the dangerous people that are committing those crimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you know, like there's so many weapons, like, oh, if you're going to go running, right? Oh, and you're a woman, make sure you have a mace with you. Like, yeah. You got to make sure you have this with you, make sure you got to have that with that. I feel like if we just dealt with the people of these dangerous crimes,
but it could be anyone. That's the thing.
I know,
like,
but I'm saying there's still no consequences to it. The problem is people keep doing bad because there's no consequences to it. But if like we were protected and everybody in our court system agreed with these consequences and people thought, oh, you know what? If I do this to this person, here's how many years I'm facing. For example, if you committed a homicide, you know you're going to go to jail, right? But if you commit sexual assault, like what it's a question mark. Where's the evidence, you know?
So much evidence of that, all that sexual assault, and I'm just like,
and they don't
and
even
then to hear this not months. Guilty verdict or 3 months or 6 months when someone is giving you a step-by-step detail, because a lot of these survivors, some don't recall because it's their memory is blocking that, you know, that
trauma.
It's so traumatic for them that their memory is blocking that for the sake of their own health. And some of them are able to remember in vivid detail, extremely up until the smell and the clothes that they're wearing. And for you to take that story and be like, I don't think you have enough evidence. Bye. Sorry, I don't believe you. Where's the evidence? Why are you coming forward with this 5 years later? Why are you coming forward with this 10 years later? Do you know how hard it was, first of all, for that person to come forward?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how traumatizing and stressful it is for that person to be like, I can't take this anymore. I need somebody to hear my story out. Like, I can't do this
and
by
the
myself.
Amount of, let's also forget that the man in office right now has had so many stories of women coming out and him being a predator himself,
child rapist.
Yep. I would recommend anybody to watch that Epstein documentary on Netflix because it talks about how much people in power, like, this is so disgusting, But it truly is disgusting. Like, it just talks, it looked so, like, if a man has so much power and he's committing all these crimes, it just talks about how, like, the system will still, like, you know, erase it and undermine it, or not, like, fully, and the victims are never, I mean, the survivors are never getting, like, their justice. It's like, so many people have come out and said, hey, you know what? The man in office did this and this and that. It's like, people are still supporting him. Like, you're supporting a child rapist. Like, yeah. I'm like, where is your conscience knowing that you have a rapist in office?
There were
not a racist too, but I'm saying he's also a rapist, and y'all are just like, oh, you know.
That's how you know they devalue. They devalue
predators. When, yeah. I realized predators protect predators, and there's a lot of men in powerful positions, including women, that are predators, and they continue to protect other predators. I feel like if it was me.
You can even put that instance to what's going on here in the community. A lot of the predators are protecting predators.
Yeah.
And the women are protecting them, their predators too. Yeah. Just because your friend hasn't done anything to you
yeah.
does not mean that he didn't do anything to her. Like, and chances are in the future, he might do something to you because yeah. you know what he is? A predator.
Yeah. People aren't going to stop until they're caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only way. I feel like outside of survivors telling their stories, there has to be another way that I want to know how we can do better. And yeah. The biggest way we can do better is if we, I think, consent, continuously repeating consent, not only to girls but to boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over and over again, like no means
and at,
no.
And at some, even if she says yes or he says yes at first, if he says halfway down the line no, you stop, or she says halfway down the line no, you stop, I don't care. If it's all the way up and you got a bust, you stop. You stop. You take it to the shower, but you do not do that to her. You don't get to violate her and think that you can walk away. I'm so sorry. I regret I did that. No.
The amount of gaslighting that happens.
Oh my God. It's terrible. It's strange that, I guess it's strange and also not surprising that we all, in a way, either know someone or have been either sexually harassed or sexually assaulted. We either know someone or we have been sexually harassed, or us ourselves have been sexually harassed and sexually assaulted. Take that.
Every woman has a sexual harassment story.
Every woman has a sexual harassment story. And that's just crazy.
Like, my biggest thing is I hate when people touch me. Like, I don't like when anybody, like, and then I've had so many boys at school just, like, try to hold my, and I'm like, don't touch me. And then they're like, whoa, what's the problem? I'm like, I just said,
don't touch me.
Like, if you're don't.
That's such a violation of space for them to not understand, like, don't do it. Like, I don't want to touch you.
Don't touch me. Like, how many times have I been out and somebody just touches my waist? And I'm like,
it's the worst. It's the worst when you're outside and they pass you and touch your waist.
In the back.
And I had a boss who did that to me at Taco Bell.
Ew, what?
Yeah, he did that to me at Taco Bell, and he would like always do that to me at first. I was a naive little 16-year-old, guys. He would do that to me, and I think twice. I was like, at first I was shocked. I was like, what is going on? Second time I was like, he did not just do this again. The third time I called him out and I said, you don't get to touch me without me saying so. And even then I was like, we keep it professional or I tell corporate. And I will get you fired. Like, you don't get to do that to me and think that you can walk away. Like, I won't allow it. I'm underage.
You 36.
I would say to all women out there, to even men out there, like, these predators look for people that are vulnerable, you know? Like, that's their biggest target, is like, they know somebody can't speak up when they know who the hell they're aiming at. So my thing is, if anybody touches you in any kind of way, you make it loud and clear. Especially because they'll try it, like with Henny. He tried it the first time, right? Henny was like in shock, like, this has happened. And then he went for it again. Imagine if it kept on going, you know? Because, and then Henny, by the third time, she corrected him. Do not be afraid. It is your body. Do not be afraid, especially just to be like, if somebody touches you in the wrong way at school, whatever it is, you just say, hey, don't touch me. Just be like, I don't like it. And be firm in it. Because at the end of the day, a predator is a predator. And the best way we got to do is protect ourselves and support the people that come out with all these stories, you know? But it's like, make sure that you even respect somebody's no. But if somebody tries it again, make sure that you are loud and clear about it. Like, make sure you just go, I don't think so. You know what I mean? It's like, be vocal. Do not be afraid to stand up for yourself.
Shoot them.
I'm with it.
Shoot
I will
him.
Support it.
Shoot them.
I will be right there.
Shoot them.
Look.
They don't play like that back in the Victorian days.
Don't, here's the, yeah, my thing is don't feel sorry and do not just try, do not, here's the thing. Your safety is the most important thing ever. Feel sorry and do not be like, maybe he didn't, don't even give it that doubt. You know what
predators
I mean?
Predators will find a way to gaslight and manipulate the situation to you feeling bad and having to do it.
You're right. If you're uncomfortable, listen,
shoot him.
Here's the thing. When you're uncomfortable, your body tells you it. You know what I mean? So don't doubt what your body's trying to tell you. Don't be like, maybe he, no. Or maybe she, no. If you feel uncomfortable right away, let them know. And just make sure you're very, I feel like even if I say this, like they're predators, some predators are just going to keep going, you know?
Yeah, no, predators don't stop until they get caught. And that's this disgusting, but we need to be able to hold these guys accountable. Send them to jail. And if they don't go to jail,
publicly shame them.
Shame them to hell. Shame them to hell. Send them to hell.
Send them to hell. I want to say, please teach. I'm always more open to learning more about how to help out survivors with sexual assault. I want to know more about your stories. I think it's really, really important for you to find your voice and to talk about these experiences. I think it's so, so, so important. And I'm here to support you for it. And I'm here to whatever you need. And we have a platform to talk about things. Please let us know. We are way much more willing to talk about it.
Yes. And we just want to say, like, we pray for your healing. You know, we support you. We stand with you. We send you love and strength. And something that has really helped me out, you know, I've struggled a lot with, you know, my own personal demons, and I had a therapist. I 100% advocate for therapy, even if some of them are a little shitty ones, you know, switch them. And one of them always told me, like, if I'm ever feeling some type of way, to just always remind myself that I'm really resilient. Even if, you know, times are really tough and I feel like I can't do it and there's no way to get out of it, to remind myself that I'm resilient and to be able to, like, to hold myself high as I can. Because if I tell myself that I'm resilient, and I really tell myself that I'm resilient, then I'll be able to at least move forward little by little by little, and until I feel peaceful and am able to, you know, forgive myself and move forward and just, you know, live my life. So
I think that's a good idea, to forgive yourself. Like, forgive these experiences. 100%. Look, you didn't bring none of this on.
It is not your fault at 100%. It is not your fault. You did nothing wrong.
Absolutely.
You know, they did that. They took that away from you. Now it's time to reclaim you back.
And don't, you know, anytime this is something that, just like any therapy, helps me out. Anytime in my life, somebody does me dirty, I always say at the end of the day, that was on them. It was never on me. And I said, I didn't do anything to bring that upon myself for you to go do dirty shit behind my back, you know? Mm-hmm. So I never, or like when somebody puts their insecurities onto you and you're like, I'm not your insecurities. That's something you need to deal with yourself. It's kind of like that. That's on them. It's not on you. And there's nothing you could have done that would have changed that situation, because at the end of the day, that person was a predator before you and will be a predator, unfortunately, after you, you know? So do not bring that upon yourself. Let them live with their pain. Let them live, reclaim your life, because at the end of the day, it is your life, you know? You are strong enough for speaking about it. You're strong enough for every single day, even if you don't feel like those days, that you want to continue, that it's so important that you continue. You deserve all the happiness in the world, and you deserve to see your life at its best. Do not let those people make you, because they aren't you. Despite what they've done, you still have the choice to make your life yours, you know? So don't give in to any of those people. Continue, because you deserve it. You truly, truly deserve to be happy.
Just know,
I'm praying for that.
100%. And we'll provide resources for any survivor, anybody who wants to talk to anybody, any professional to who are more
acquitted
with it than we are. We'll provide sources, resources in the notes below. But yeah.
I love you. I appreciate you. You fine as hell, girl. You fine. Boy, even you, boy, y'all are fine as hell.
Y'all are resilient. Y'all are brave. Y'all are sexy.
And you smart. You loyal. DJ Khaled from this. You're amazing. Best. Don't you ever forget it.
Amazing. We don't want you to forget that. Don't ever forget that you're an amazing
and
person.
And you have people that support you and that 100%. Believe you, and two of these hoes is in this room right now.
Exactly.
Right now.
All right, with that, we will conclude this week's episode. As always, take care of yourself, be good to your mental health, and do something good.